Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They are providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for their creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today I'm welcoming author Brenda E. Cortez. We're going to talk about her new book and a bunch of other fun stuff. Welcome, Brenda.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Been crazy busy. How about you?
Yeah, trying to fit all summer things in for personal life and, yep, crazy busy with working as well.
Yeah, laundry. That's a real hard thing. Getting time to do your laundry.
Yeah, fit it in when you can.
I was telling Brenda while we were in the green room before the show that I have a kitten, and she's like, takes up all my time when I'm not working. But she's cute. She's very pretty.
And it's worth it.
Yes, I love her. She's adorable. So, I had another cat. She passed away. Her name was Zena, and I wrote a children's book, an exercise book, based on her. So I kind of missed having a cat. So we waited like a couple of years before. So I was completely through my grief before I got little Schmendrick, as we call her. Her name's Pie, but she has other names.
Nicknames.
Yeah. She's smart, though. Very smart kitten. Do you have any pets?
I do. I have two dogs. I used to have three. We used to have three dachshunds. Now we're down to one, Sammy. And then we got a rescue dog a couple years ago. Her name is Riley, and we call her Riley Roo. And she's sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah. And then today I was out and about, and I ran into people that had their puppies with them. So I got to play with two different puppies, and then a baby. So I said, I have my puppy baby fix today.
That's so cute. I mean, your children's book's about animals, so I figured you must like animals.
Yes, I like animals, and I like owls.
I love owls. I think they're beautiful. I mean, I know they're predators, but they're just the most elegant of animals, I think.
They are. They're neat.
And I like them even before Harry Potter.
Me too.
Although it's sort of nice to see them become more and more popular after Harry Potter because of Hedwig, you know. Especially the white owls, which were endangered. I thought it was kind of clever of Jo Rowling to make Harry's owl a white owl, because there's like now protections for them. I don't know if that was what she meant to do, but it was a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that. But yeah, there's lots of cute owl things out there now too.
Oh yeah. Is that why you have an owl in your book?
Well, I liked owls, as I said, but it all started with a saying that I came up with, which was help others with love. And then I was like, oh, that spells out howl. And I'm like, it rhymes with owl. So that would be a cute character for a book, Howl the Owl. And I'm sharing what his name represents. That he promotes, being kind and help others with love. So that's how that character came about.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. So you're doing your it's a charity, right? How?
So
is it a charity?
It's kind of, yeah. I support Donate Life America, an organ donation awareness. So that's what a lot of the books are about. A couple of them just briefly touch on it. But yeah, I give proceeds, you know, partial proceeds then back to Donate Life America. And then there's a couple other different groups that will get some proceeds as well.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I have a book called Different is Beautiful, and I got the idea for my book because of all of the bullying that was going on. And I give a portion of my proceeds for my book for anti-bullying charities. I think it's very important, even for new writers or not famous writers, to give as much as they can give, too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you feel like that you have a niche of, you know, something that you're writing about, just like you said with the bullying, and then, you know, mine with the organ donation, I think that it helps in a couple different ways. You know, you're helping support and raise awareness just for that particular cause, and then hopefully they're aware of what you're doing and will also support you back as an author.
That's always good. How did you start writing? Did you write as a child? Did you do it in school? Did this bring this about because you wanted to help people that you just started writing? How did you begin your writing?
So, I wasn't really a writer, like in school or anything. I liked it, but I honestly never thought of, you know, pursuing it. It kind of evolved. And what really made it happen is kind of the words that my daughter wrote for her essay to get into college. And she wrote about the kidney donation. So I'm a living kidney donor. I donated a kidney 14 years ago to another mom. And so there really weren't any resources at that time. And my kids were 7 and 11. And so fast forward then, you know, 6 years later, and my daughter wrote her essay that, you know, it was scary for her as a child, but I inspired her to want to be a better person and help others. And so I really, after I read that, I was like, wow, I really need to come up with something to help, you know, other kids since there was nothing for mine. So that's where my first book started. And that one is not a Howl the Owl book. I didn't come up with Howl the Owl as my character until the second book, so the first one is titled My Mom is Having Surgery, A Kidney Story, and it's told, I told it from my daughter's perspective. So just helps teach kids, like, what is just even, you know, basic surgery, and then also, like, what is a kidney donation, and hopefully bringing them some comfort, having it explained to them, and knowing that, you know, they're not alone. Other kids, you know, have parents or grandparents or somebody that are going through that too.
I think it's a really good lesson too, because a lot of parents hide stuff from their children still today. You know, you think that's something that our grandparents did, but really they're still doing it today. They're hiding serious diseases or something bad that's happening in the family. And so keeping the kids in the dark to protect them, but really it just confuses them.
Yeah, that's true. And then another reason why I wanted to continue writing about organ donation is a couple of reasons. Helping the kids that are actually going through it themselves. And then just to teach kids like what it is. And sometimes I'll get a little pushback, you know, from schools because I do school visits, and it's like, oh, you know, it's kind of a sensitive topic and they might not want to talk about that. Especially if, you know, if it's living donation, then maybe they're okay. But if you're talking about being an organ donor otherwise, when you've passed on, you know, then they don't want to address that. And it's not every school, but it's some. So, yeah, but it kind of hiding it from them, trying to protect them.
I mean, I understand both sides. I mean, there are children who are very sensitive and stuff, and the parent would know if their child is like that. But in this world, it's really hard to hide stuff from a kid. They look at their phone and they see things. Even the protected phones, they still see stuff. So it's really, it's a good idea to just be open for discussion. You know, if a kid has a question, don't say, oh, you shouldn't talk about that. That's not really healthy for the child. I recently saw this, and it has a totally different subject, but I recently saw this interview with Dan Brown, and one of the reasons why he questions everything is because a priest, he was very satisfied. He had a father who was science and a mother who was very religious, and he was happy. And then he went to a museum, and they were talking about evolution, and he could marry the two quite happily. But he went to his priest, and he asked him, you know, could you explain it further to me, the religious side of it? And he said, nice boys, don't ask why. And it was like, bing, bing, bing. That's not a good thing to say to an 11-year-old boy, or any 11-year-old. You don't tell them not to ask why. I have the same thing, but different reason. This is going to sound really silly because it has nothing to do with it. But I was about 8 years old, and I was in class, and I loved the show Bewitched. And they were in Salem, and we were getting to the part in history, our history book, because it was American history, about, you know, that period. And it was two paragraphs in my book, but I expected my teacher to at least gloss over it, and they just skipped it, didn't talk about it at all. So I raised my tiny little hand, and I asked, are we going to talk about it? And he goes, it's not in the academic schedule. And I'm like, but I love that, and I really want to hear about Salem. And a bunch of other kids were starting to, and he sent me to the principal's office.
Oh, wow. Just keep her quiet.
Yeah, let's silence her, send her. And I was teased as I was leaving that I was going to get expelled. Well, he said, you know, it's 8 years old. He said, you're going to get expelly. And I burst into tears. I was a very sensitive child. So I was hysterical by the time I got to the principal, and he's trying to get out of me why I was sent. And I'm just hysterically crying because I didn't know what expelling was, but I figured it was really bad. And so I called my dad from work in, and my dad got me to tell him. And he says, no, no, you're not going to be expelled, is she? And he goes, absolutely not. And they sent me outside for a minute. The reason they did it was because they both burst into laughter. And then they called me back in. And Dad picked me up and put me on his lap and explained that there's nothing wrong with what I did, and that the kid didn't know what he was talking about, and the principal's on his knees, and he's telling me it's going to be okay. But, I mean, you don't tell a child stuff like, no, like that. It just sends you in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of that little.
And look at how you remember it so vividly.
I do. I remember it very vividly. That's one of my more vivid childhood memories. I think it was, yeah, it was 8 weeks. It was just before we moved from California to Ohio, and that was even worse. Try being a new kid in school.
Yeah. No kidding.
Anyway, so, I mean, what I'm trying to say is it's better to be open with children and explain things and answer their questions and not put them off and make them feel like they're wrong by asking why.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I've found more people, I think, are actually affected by organ donation than we realize.
Oh, yeah.
I start talking, and all of a sudden, you know, so-and-so, like, you know, my grandpa got a kidney, and or, you know, so-and-so needs a heart transplant, and so it's like, yeah, it's out there, but it's just not talked about as much.
It's like the old days in, I think it was like the 30s or the 40s, where they wouldn't say the word cancer. They would call it the C or that disease. They wouldn't actually say it. They would whisper about it. It doesn't stop it from happening, and it sure doesn't help the child get confused.
Yeah. Wow.
But, I mean, yeah, we've gotten a little bit better. But, I mean, still, it's very important to be open. I mean,
yeah,
at a child's level, of course, but and your child's level, of course, but still, you don't say no or block them.
Yep. There's things that need to be addressed, and that's why I started writing my books, because it's something that really wasn't being addressed, so there is a need.
How are the kids reacting to it?
They like it. They ask a lot of questions, and I think they just really like Howl the Owl, and you know, just in every book a couple times at least, stress what his name really means, you know, like help others with love. So really want to encourage that, you know, kindness. And ultimately that's what organ donation is. I mean, it's like the ultimate gift. You're giving of yourself, whether it's, you know, being a living donor and giving away a body part, or if you're, you know, you're passing away and you don't know people that are going to get your organs, that you're going to do that for others and save lives. So that's definitely helping others for sure.
Well, I mean, and I think in the world the way it is right now, that's really important, that love is far more powerful than the other stuff that's going on around right now.
Yes, yes, exactly. So that's why I just want to really promote Howl and his message. Even adults love him too. So in addition to him being the character in, I guess I talked about my first book, but I didn't really talk about the other ones that are actually the Howl the Owl books. So there's 5 books out right now in the Howl the Owl series. 3 of them are technically part of the organ donation series. A 4th one would be coming out soon. I actually revised one of the books, so which is the very first one, Howl Gets a Heart. So he gets a heart transplant. And so I'm revising it to actually be about a liver. So he gets a liver transplant. And that was actually at the request of many people, obviously related, you know, to liver transplant. And then
Phoenix Children's Hospital had requested that book as well. And then there's Howl Helps Bella, and that one is probably the most sensitive one because we address death for the most part, but it's spun off. So it's Bella's daddy passes away. He's an organ donor, and we explain what that means. Howl is her best friend in the story, and the sad part is, you know, that her daddy dies, but then the positive spin is that he helped save other people's lives, and he was like a superhero. And so that one definitely has its purpose. Probably wouldn't be a book that you would just, you know, want to maybe read to your child for fun. Usually you probably would have to be affected in some way for that one. And then the next one that came out was Howl Helps Others. So that one was just briefly touches on transplant of Howl going to the clinic for follow-ups. But that one's more about kindness and helping others, short stories. You know, there's a bully in there, and talk about autism a little bit. So that one truly is, you know, meant to really showcase the kindness. And I introduced new animal. So up until then, it had just been the owls. But then we've got all kinds of different animals, and they're all, like, named after people I know in real life. And then I include pictures of them at the back of the book, the real-life pictures of who they are. And the kids really seem to like that because the illustrator tried to make them even, like, look like what they really look like in person. So, and some of them actually kind of really do look like the person, even though, like, one is my son, Kyle the kangaroo, and then a friend, Richie the raccoon. Those are the ones that he did really well with that really look like him or them. Then I went back to the organ donation and wanted to write about dialysis and kidneys again, but kind of from a different perspective. So we have Howl's grandpa is in need of a kidney, and Howl is curious where he goes, you know, to this dialysis and, you know, what it does. So I incorporated that he's searching for a living kidney donor, you know, while he's on dialysis. Howl goes and learns what it is, and then they present at Howl's school, so kind of incorporating what I actually go and do in real life. And then Grandpa received his gift of life from a deceased donor. So I was trying to tie everything in with that one. And then I teamed up with a race car driver, a NASCAR driver, Joey Gase. He is also passionate about organ donation awareness because he was affected by it. His mom passed away in her early 40s, and he was just 18, and he basically had to, like, help make that decision if she was, you know, going to be an organ donor or not. And so he made that decision, and I think is very happy with that decision, and uses, you know, his racing platform, his race car, as a way to, you know, help raise awareness for organ donation. A lot of times I'll have, like, Donate Life on his hood. So I just had the idea to, like, write a book about him. You know, he's like a character, but it's really him. And that he invites Howl to the races for Organ Donation Awareness Day, which I don't think is something that exists right now, but I'm planting a seed, hopefully, that maybe that will be a thing one day. I know some, like, baseball stadiums are doing that. Have, like, an organ donation day. And so that one's just done to get kids excited about racing and, you know, being at the racetrack and seeing the cars and the drivers. So that one would be my sixth book overall. And then I've got a couple others that I'm working on. But I want to touch on a different topic.
I was going to ask, will you be doing any kind of shows or book signings or conventions, or will you be doing a personal appearance at any of the things you were just describing?
Well, actually, tomorrow, Joey Gase is, so I live in Wisconsin, and so the race is here this weekend. And so tomorrow we are going to be at the racetrack in the family fun zone. He can only be there for a little part of the time due to his schedule with practice and qualifying. But yeah, we'll be there with books. And then I've traveled around to some different Donate Life, different donor awareness, like fun events and races. I've been in Vegas and Iowa, which is where Joey's from, Ohio. I don't have anything on the books at this moment when we're talking, but you can check out the webpage that talks about like upcoming events. The webpage is howltheowl.com. And you can check out all the books there, and you can order them there if you're interested. And then, so he's also a plush animal. So you can get him kind of like a book and a bear, but it's an owl. and then he recently this year is also a mascot. So when I've been at these events, the mascot, Howl the Owl, is usually out and about, you know, saying hi, waving to the kids, waving his wings, giving a high five or a hug. So he's been well received, which is fun and exciting. And then the plush character has actually been traveling around. People have been hosting Howl the Owl. And so far, a lot of them have been, you know, it's been like organ donation related. But if somebody wanted to host Howl, they don't have to be related to, you know, or affected by organ donation. And I just truly ask people to, you know, he'll get shipped to you and keep him for like a week or two. If you're going out and doing anything fun, take him along, take pictures. And then there's a special Facebook page called Howl the Owl on the Prowl. And so people are posting what they, you know, brought him, where they brought him, what they're doing. A few different people are actually at the World Transplant Games right now. That is, right now they're in England. And so he's definitely been a world traveler. He's been to many states in the United States. And he's been to Australia, England. There's a family from India that has him. So his little message has been getting around, which makes me happy because, like we said earlier, this world really, really needs a reminder to be kind and help others with love.
Absolutely. And on that note, Kit, we have your different media names or how people can get in touch and say hi.
Yes, definitely. So I mentioned that Facebook page, Howl the Owl on the Prowl. And then we have his regular Facebook page, which is Howl the Owl. I'm on Facebook, Brenda E. Cortez. And then Instagram, Howl the Owl. And also Twitter. And I always forget what my Twitter. I always have to look it up. It's Howl the Owl, but it's the at something, so I can tell you that. At Howl the Owl, and then the number 3. And that's
okay.
Brenda E. Cortez.
That's funny. So there's two other people who have Howl the Owl on out there somewhere.
Yeah, so I had to be 3. So yeah, I love it. If anybody wants to reach out, any questions for me or anything,
And then again, the website is howltheowl.com, which actually takes you to my page at Donate Life America. So donatelife.net. That's where my page is. So it's been a great partnership with me donating proceeds to them, and then them basically hosting my page too.
We've come to the end. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.